Hello.
Welcome back
to our podcast where we talk about all things mental health and how it intersects with codependency.
Yes. Love that little explanation, Megan. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time ever on this episode, it's important to know what we're discussing.
What are we about?
Yeah.
You know?
And also, we always want to know if you like us, of course.
I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh, this season has been really awesome. We've met a lot of cool people. We've done a lot of cool interviews and more to come.
Yeah. I'm honestly shocked that people are saying yes. Like,
I know.
When we first started this journey of reaching out to potential guests,
yeah,
I for sure thought like 98% of the time they would say no.
Yeah.
But we have not gotten a single no, actually.
No.
Actually, yeah. There's one person we hadn't heard back from, but that's normal.
Yeah.
And then everyone else we've reached out to has literally said yes.
Immediately.
And they're willing to do these interviews on weekends, which is insane to me that they're going to carve out a part of their weekend for us.
I know. They're so generous with their time. They're so lovely. Every single person has been, I feel honored to have met them.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just really grateful for this experience. I think meeting people, talking to people about this stuff is such a privilege, you know, having these moments with people where we really get into the nitty gritty and they're sharing their lives and their thoughts. And I don't know, I just feel like it's really expansive.
Yeah, I know. And we laughed about this earlier where it's like, we're essentially getting free therapy sessions because
100%.
It's like these, we're talking about our own codependency issues with a professional.
Yeah.
And they're giving us their guidance for an entire hour, which is something that a lot of therapists charge $160 to $180 for an hour of their time. And they're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts to, for us, for the podcast, for our listeners. So we're really stoked about how this has gone so far. It's gone really well. And the guests that we're going to discuss today, ADHD therapist Jay, I think that's what he goes by on Instagram. He has like 60,000 followers or something. He has like a huge following.
Yeah.
And we're so shocked and
like,
delighted.
Yeah, I'll come on and talk with you. And I'm like, what? Great, thanks.
And our Instagram like barely has 100 and something.
Yeah.
I mean, not to play the whole following game, but you do have to kind of take those things into consideration when reaching out to these guests because it's like,
that's the only metric they have to go by to know if they want to do this or not. You know, they don't know us. There's no other way to measure if this is like worth their time.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been so generous with posting on their own socials about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I know our last guest, Jessie, did a lot of promotion for us on her her therapy practice or her therapy practice, Haven Counseling Co., did a lot of promotion, and so did she on her personal page.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even ask them to do this. They're just doing it, and it's really nice.
Lovely people.
So let's, you want to dive into, we wanted to discuss really our takeaways from the episode with ADHD therapist Jay. He also goes by Justin Gillespie.
Yep.
And he had, we both learned a lot about ADHD on this episode.
I know. I'm really, really, really glad we had him on because we had a little ADHD episode last season, right?
Yes.
But you know, as we say every single time, we're not experts. So we did what we could, but he gave us so many good nuggets and really explained ADHD in a more nuanced way. I learned so much about ADHD and, you know, I feel like, by the way, if you haven't listened to that episode, go back to last week's episode and listen to our interview with Jay, and then come on back here where we recap and we're just going to chat. We're kind of trying to use these recaps as finding little nuggets, you know, that we want to talk about again, but also how does it apply in our lives or how have we seen it in our lives or people's lives around us?
Right, right. That's what we're using these recaps for, is not just to recap what we already discussed in that episode, but really our takeaways from it. If it's not in our personal life, what we've noticed from in other dynamics around us with these mental health subjects. And I think the point of this podcast is to expand what we, the topics we discuss. And obviously codependency is always going to be at the forefront. But we also want to talk about other things like this, which are so prevalent in society with these issues. And they do intersect with codependency a lot of the time. So the first thing I wanted to mention is, so in the beginning of this episode, we actually, there was a moment where we were talking about how Justin, or Jay, or whatever you want to call him, he goes by both. He had mentioned getting fired from his job in COVID, and then mentioned that he used that as an opportunity to kind of gain his social media presence more. And I wanted to correct something that I said after that, because I had mentioned, I said something like, I know a lot of therapists have been getting canned from their jobs for creating a social media presence. That was more of, I guess it's more of an exaggeration within what I meant, because I think I had read like one or two stories or examples of professionals in these spaces, like teachers, therapists. It's in a lot of industries where they start gaining notoriety online, and then for some reason their job decides to fire them out of nowhere or make some sort of excuse to get rid of them. And I did this. It's a true story. I mean, I read about a few of these instances, but it's not like a ton, or it's not like happening every single day, or whatnot. And it's also important to note that the people who do come on our podcast, most of them have transparency with the firms they work for, or not firms, but whatever company they work for. It's like, they know that they're going to go on a podcast, and they know that they're putting themselves out there, you know. So I don't know. I just wanted to correct that for anyone who might have heard that and was like, wait, a lot of therapists are getting canned for creating social media presence, when that's not necessarily the truth. I did read a few instances about this, but I just thought it was interesting to bring up, because I think we're in this age right now with social media that a lot of professional spaces don't know how to navigate these things. And so they try and control it, or they try and, you know, I don't know, like silence or do certain things to not have these professionals create the presence that they want to create online.
Yeah.
And so
I feel like it could be because of like two things come to mind, like social media, maybe their initial judgment of it is that it's not professional. It's like millennial. It's like not to be taken seriously or something. So they think maybe it puts a bad light on them or the topic at hand just because it's on social media, or because of cancel culture. Like they think, ooh, I don't want somebody that I employ to be putting themselves out there and risking getting canceled, and then now I'm associated with them or something like that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, what you had said also, plus just the worry of misinformation or them, you know, saying things that aren't necessarily true in the mental health space. But, you know, these professionals are professionals for a reason. And I think in this society, this day and age, we need to normalize talking about these mental health subjects, specifically on social media, because not a lot of people can afford a therapist. Not a lot of people have access to this information, right? So I think they're doing really important work. It's just unfortunate that the rest of the world and corporate America hasn't really caught up to what this could actually do if they use it to their benefit, for having someone put their, you know, like Jessie's a great example of that. Our last guest, who her the company she works for, Haven Counseling Co., was all about the social media presence, was all about promoting Jessie's interview. So I think
just use it wisely. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So just want to correct that. I don't know a bunch of therapists that have been canned from their jobs for creating presence, social media presence, but it is something that does happen on occasion, and it's, I thought it was important to note. So
sad.
Yeah.
Well, Jay said a lot of really interesting things about ADHD. So like on a personal note, I don't think I struggle with ADHD. When I was listening to him explain some of the symptoms, I didn't resonate with most of them. A couple things maybe I have in my life, but I think that's, it just made me think like, okay, I don't think I resonate with this, but just because I don't resonate with this doesn't mean I can't empathize, doesn't mean I don't have certain symptoms. Certain symptoms don't overlap with what I'm struggling with, you know?
Yeah.
You can always kind of find a middle ground with people, even if you don't have that exact same problem. Like he was saying, like you might have like a cluttered space,
mm-hmm.
or like you just don't have time for certain chores, or like to get good at stuff like cooking, you don't have the patience for it or whatever. I resonate with both of those things.
Yes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But pretty much nothing else that he said I resonated with about ADHD specifically. So I'm like, okay, I can empathize with those two things, but it doesn't mean I have ADHD. It's just those symptoms can be from other things.
Oh yeah. You know? Totally. Yeah.
And I think it's just important to know, because we had talked a little bit about self-diagnosing,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a topic.
Yeah.
And how I can just see how hairy that can get, because if I wasn't asking more questions or leaving that space open for overlapping symptoms, I might hear two things he said and say, oh my God, I have that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You know,
and we're in this place right now, I think, as human beings, where we want to, like, we hear a couple things about ourselves and it's like, I am that.
Yeah.
Like we talked a little bit about that in the attachment episode with Jesse, where we hear a few traits about the anxious attachment and say, that is always me. That's mm-hmm. all the time. I am an anxious attachedly mm-hmm. or an anxiously attached person.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesse kind of corrected us in the sense of like, you, that is ever changing, ever molding with different people in your life and different relationships. So I think something with ADHD, it's like, and definitely in the self-diagnosing world, it's not like we should hear two things about that and be like, that is my identity now. I'm going to tell everybody that I am ADHD
right.
and blah, blah, blah. I think we can still resonate with a few points of ADHD, but not also fully be that.
Yeah. And that's what he was saying, too, about self-diagnosing that I really liked was he said, like, socially. Because we were kind of asking him at the end, like, or you had asked, what do you think about this self-diagnosing kind of, I don't know if we should call it an epidemic, but just it's happening a lot, right? On social media, you see people responding to these TikToks being like, did I just get diagnosed on TikTok?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, well.
The way you said that.
That is how they say it in those videos. That was a perfect impression.
It really was. Spot on.
Spot on. But it's like, I don't know. He was saying he sees the benefit and he also sees the danger. So it's like, a lot of people are trying to get this information, like you just said, because they don't have access to it in any other way. Therapy is expensive. Yeah. They might not have insurance, you know. Or, like I had mentioned, you go to these doctors and you, I'm sorry, but a lot of times they just don't seem to really get what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's like something missing there where you're not really getting the answers you want. And then you find a lot of them in these videos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what else are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
You know, you have nowhere else to go.
Right. And he mentioned that his therapy practice is unique in the sense where he specializes only in ADHD, which I think a lot of people who are looking for resources for ADHD, it's hard to find a specific mental health either company or therapist who can be like, I can help you come up with a diet. Like, we can work on this together. Mm-hmm. And so what he's doing with his practice is essential in this world of ADHD because it's I think we need more of that. And so, yeah, it's really interesting with the self-diagnosing, like you had mentioned. It's I don't know, it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. But at the end, if you can find a professional that will explore this with you in a way that they're not going to misdiagnose you, that I think we should all seek that out if we have access to it, of course.
Yeah.
You know.
And I like what he said about the social thing, like social self-diagnosis. He thinks there's really no danger because it's not like you're getting a prescription from someone without a diagnosis. You're just resonating with that, talking to people about it, maybe using that vernacular and language. That's not hurting anyone. You're just finding a group.
Exactly.
Who you get and gets you, you know.
Right, right. And can make us feel less alone.
Yeah.
For me, that's what mental health subjects on codependency and a lot of other issues on social media for me has just made me feel like I'm not a freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know?
That's exactly what we all want. We want to know we belong. We're not aliens.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. He also mentioned something with ADHD. He talked about ADHD people are more prone to unfinished or incomplete creative projects.
Mm.
He had mentioned writing an entire book and then deciding to scrap it or not even publish it.
Wow.
And I can 100,000% relate to this when it comes to creative projects. Mm-hmm. I think I might have mentioned this in a previous episode, but it is so hard for me to... I will do everything. I'll finish that project to a T. And then when it comes to launching it or putting it out there in the world, I just decide the entire thing is shit and scrap it. Or I'll just not complete the project. And then I just end up having a list of entrepreneurial ideas that were either failure to launch or stopped mid. Like a few examples would be, I thought like 4 or 5 years ago, I thought it might be a good idea to start a coffee business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always had this like entrepreneurial mindset about me, as you know, like I'm just very, I want to, you know, own my own business someday. I think that's definitely like the path for me. And my idea was, why not create a coffee business that some of the revenues or some of the money from the business goes to non-kill shelters for animals, because I was very passionate about that. I still am. Where we need more no-kill shelters out there. There's a lot of shelters that will just kill the animal as soon as they, you know, get it or whatever. So I was like, I want to find a way to give back, but also have a business behind it. And so I came up with the branding for it. It was called Kittio Coffee Co.
Cute.
And it's not cat-themed, but I just thought it'd be cute to choose some sort of animal as the mascot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all the branding, I did everything for it, and I even started ordering coffee from suppliers because I was going to test out their coffee and see who I wanted to slap my brand on, all this stuff. But yeah, midway through, I was doing it with a friend at the time, midway through, I just lost my steam, and it got added to the list of Google Doc ideas that never really launched, and I even went as far as to contact these suppliers, test out the coffees, all this stuff. But essentially, I do this often where I have a cool idea for something. I start gaining a little momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I might hit like a slight roadblock or maybe life gets too busy or whatever, I just toss it aside. So
And he was saying that that's a part of like the dopamine rush, the biological aspect of this, right? That you're always looking for that hit of dopamine, and you can hyperfixate on something that's shiny and you're obsessed with it, and then all of a sudden it's old news and we're not doing it anymore.
it's so crazy, right? It's nuts. And then on the topic of hyperfixation, he talks about how ADHD folk can also not just hyperfixate on a creative project or a chore or whatnot, but they can also hyperfixate on people too. Mm-hmm. And so he talks about how he might be obsessed with a person and be talking to them all the time, and then may go a month or two without talking to them.
Yeah.
And that person takes...
their old news.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that person gets offended by that. It's like, hello, you just like disappeared off the face of the earth. And it's like, well, my hyperfixation is not on you at the moment.
There's another shiny thing I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel like you resonate with that with people?
Yes, I absolutely resonate with that. And with being codependent, I think that intertwines as well, where it's like when I start dating someone new, I will definitely hyperfixate on them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be thinking about what they're doing when I'm not with them. Mm-hmm. Not in a
stalker way.
Yeah, it's more just like I'm obsessed with you at the moment, therefore I am thinking about you often. And and then, yeah, there's this, it's like, I don't know, when the honeymoon phase gets... or when it's kind of over, the hyperfixation begins to like go away at that point. And so when he specifically talked about the hyperfixation on relationships, I was like, oh yeah, that is 1,000% something I do.
Yeah. And I feel like it makes sense that, cause you know, to tie back into codependency, when we're talking to our guests, we say like, what's the relationship between this what's the relationship between this and codependency? And I think he was saying like what you had just said ties into it, exacerbated by the fact that people with ADHD often have low self-esteem, low self-worth.
Yeah.
And then they you find yourself in this kind of manipulative back and forth relationship with people because they want to keep people around because of what they can do for them. Because he was saying, like, sometimes it's hard for people with ADHD to be able to keep something clean, keep something decluttered, do chores, cook. And if you find somebody that kind of helps you with those things, you don't want to give it up because you think they complete that part of you that you can't do without them. Right. And that's that kind of codependent thing, is like, I need this from you. I can't let you go.
So true.
Right.
So true. And it's like, as soon as they're not meeting that specific need, you start panicking and you start feeling the need to have these discussions with them, like, hey, this isn't happening and I need you to do this.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like questioning the entire integrity of the relationship because they're not filling that particular need for you.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting. I mean, do you, you were saying you don't really resonate with that part of ADHD, right? Not like getting into a relationship because of what they can help you with, essentially.
Yeah. I don't, no, I don't really relate to that aspect.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, I don't know what the term is, but I'm more independent in those specific ways, you know? I don't know if that's the right word, though, because it's not like these people, or these people, like ADHD
these
people. It's not that they're not independent.
Yeah.
It's more just they are looking for specific needs to be filled like that.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm
how about you?
No, I don't. I don't resonate with that aspect. I don't resonate with the, like, disorganized kind of aspect. I don't struggle to get into a routine, which he said was also a thing with people with ADHD.
Oh, that one I actually do resonate with, personally, the routine thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is hard for me to have a structured routine. Like, for instance, right now I am trying to implement a meditation routine in the mornings. And depending on how atrocious my sleep went the night prior, which has been happening a lot lately, I don't know what's happening, but I'm just, like, having a hard time.
It's your loud neighbor, probably.
Don't get me started on this neighbor.
Not to bring that up, but.
Well, long story short, I have a neighbor who's absolutely driving me insane right now that I told had to vent to Megan about, because it's like they're bumping music at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday and I'm trying to work from home, or they'll be bumping at like literally 3 or 4 in the morning during the week. The loudest music possible with their windows open. So
nuts.
I want to shoot myself.
That's crazy. And I mean, yeah, I would also not sleep if that was the case.
Yes. And it's really hard to get into a meditative zen state the next morning when you just spent all night being pissed at your neighbors. And then getting up early and all that. So I don't know. My point to that is implementing routines has always been very difficult for me. So I would say that aspect of ADHD for sure is something I'm trying to work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm putting you on the spot here, but do you feel like, talking about self-diagnosis, do you feel like you would self-diagnose as having ADHD, or you're still not sure, kind of on the borderline?
Oh, gosh, I think it's just more like a spectrum, you know? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's hard to say either you are or you aren't. And so that's another thing I find interesting about ADHD is, like, I look at everything as a spectrum now, honestly. And it's like I'm either leaning more towards it or I'm leaning more away from it. And I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to answer your question, that's kind of how I see ADHD is, like, oh, yeah, I have moments where I'm heavily leaning towards that. I have moments where I'm not.
Yeah.
The whole disorganized thing, for me, I like to think of myself as like an organized pile person.
Yeah.
Can you relate to this?
Totally.
Where I have, I might have piles around my apartment, but I know exactly what's in that pile, and I have it specifically.
There's a system. There's a system.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's, it's tough. I feel like I'm in between. How about you?
I feel like I struggle with, in like depressive states, clutter, and I just feel like I can't keep things in order, you know, like physically, like my stuff. But that's about as far as that goes.
Okay.
You know, and then otherwise, I mean, I do struggle with low self-worth and low self-esteem.
Oh, for sure.
Me too. But I don't think it's directly related to any of, like, any sort of attention or issues or anything like that. I think it's just a separate thing that I struggle with.
Yeah.
So for me, I would say definitively I'm very low on the spectrum of this.
Would you say?
Yeah. Attention deficit issue. I just don't find a lot of the stuff that he was talking about, those are not my challenges. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if a symptom kind of overlapped, it didn't really resonate with me about, like, why it was happening, you know? So I think they're just, those symptoms that I kind of relate to are because of other things. Like, my clutter issue is more because of my depression, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think these aren't just specific to ADHD, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be people without ADHD that struggle with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's hard. I think you, like...
And that's why you want a professional diagnosis, because it's about the why, it's about the motive, it's about the string of connections that someone experienced is looking for and saying, okay, these things that are happening consistently fall into this category.
Yes.
You know, and it's not a label I'm smacking on you, but it's helpful to organize this information and awareness with this label, because that's how we get solutions.
Absolutely. So I think the conclusion on that whole discussion of self-diagnosis is, like, if you can get a diagnosis, try to, mm-hmm. right?
Go talk to somebody who knows what's up.
Yeah. Not just, you know, like, I'm looking for an ADHD diagnosis. It's more mm-hmm. like, I'm looking mm-hmm. to understand yeah. this big part of my life then.
What's up? I'm struggling. Tell me why. Like, yeah. that's the question, you know? Yeah,
exactly. It's not that you're seeking out to be this thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think... It all comes down to access at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we do have the access, let's try and figure it mm-hmm. out. Yeah. Right? So I don't know. I feel so much better when I get either a diagnosis or an understanding on something
yeah.
that I otherwise was a mystery to me about myself.
100%. And he was saying too that what I thought was interesting, that women often get misdiagnosed.
Yes. Yes. He mentioned bipolar, right?
Yes. Bipolar and, oh, yeah. So oftentimes women are diagnosed as having bipolar disorder when really it's more just ADHD.
Yeah.
Because the symptoms overlap.
And in the he talked about specifically moods that,
mm-hmm.
you know, bipolar has, like, very large mood swings. Mm-hmm. But when you're ADHD, it can
feel things strongly.
Yeah, because you might be in a fixating mode mm-hmm. on... You could probably fixate on an emotion,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fixating on stress right now. Mm-hmm. So that is my main disposition right now, is stress.
So then it looks like these rapid mood swings.
Yeah.
And then they'll say it's bipolar. And we asked, like, why do you think specifically women are... This is a problem for women. And do you think that the, like, hysteria aspect is... a part mm-hmm. of why? And he said, absolutely. And I agree with him, because if you grow up with a rhetoric that is so ingrained in you, and your implicit bias is based on that, it's foundational to what you believe is true about people, about women, about life. Mm-hmm. And so if you're coming into this looking at these set of symptoms and that's your foundational understanding of women, then mm-hmm. you're going to attach that to them. You're going to say more dramatic things like mood swings, bipolar disorder, you're hysterical.
Right. And it's wild. He said that in the DSM, I think it was like 4, it was the DSM prior to the DSM-5, I think he'd mentioned.
Okay. Where,
which that's the diagnostic statistics manual. Or no, wait, I don't know. That might be wrong. It's the official diagnosis book that everybody uses in mental health, if you don't know what that is, to diagnose disorders. And he mentioned that, like, it was even that book is written in a way where there's, like, you know,
outdated.
It's outdated. It's talking about women having hysterical or being hysterical. Can't talk.
Being hysterical.
Yeah. And
like, that's legitimate in the book.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Which is insane.
It's still legitimate in people's minds. And if that's the book that you're looking at to give you your answers, it's like,
I know.
It's systemic, you know.
And it's crazy that the mental health world hasn't caught up yet when it comes to certain, the diagnostics manual not having updated information. And he mentioned that. He was like, even trainings that therapists have to go through, there's like those.
Sometimes rooted in that.
Rooted in those old philosophies and ideas about women. So,
but that's the hard thing. Like, unlearning is so hard. And unlearning and creating a new system is such a big task. And that's why we're all talking about in the society and in culture right now about having systemic racism, systemic XYZ. It's like, okay, this is a big task because it, what that means inherently is that it's everywhere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is everywhere. Truly.
Well, we had a great time with Jay. If you didn't listen to the episode, go back and listen to the interview with him. And we have one more question for you.
Do you like us?
Bye. Bye.